Hi, you're listening to Adrienne Barbeau and Quality Time Broadcast.
I'm just going to do it one more time.
Do I see that Stu Ninen was in this movie? That's cool.
Yeah, that's
Dan Ninen's brother.
Dan Ninen's brother, Stu Ninen. Oh, yeah, good stuff. Welcome back to Quality Time, everyone. I'm back, and my name is Eric Woodworth for another exciting installment of Quality Time. And to my left is the very lovely, the very sultry Miss Kimberly Ambrose.
Hey, yay.
How are you doing, Kimberly?
I feel sick.
Oh, man. How's the pregnancy going?
I backslid. I was feeling real good. The 24-hour nausea decreased slightly, and it was enough for me to want to jump for joy. I'm not up to jumping yet. But then I woke up the other day, and I was so sick, I cried. I was like, I don't want to feel this sick. This is bullshit. And now I've been sleeping the last 2 days.
I like that that pregnancy, what I've seen that it does to women, it just takes all of your emotions and puts them into one ball, and then you roll the dice and see what comes up this morning.
Pretty much.
You don't know. It might be overjoy.
And you know what?
It might be sadness. Mm-hmm. It might be crippling depression. You don't know.
Well, I know so much about women.
I am pretty...
You know what else it does? It takes all the strength and self-sufficiency and independency and ability to think words good, and it just smashes it into the ground and goes, fuck you, there's a new person coming. The person you were doesn't matter anymore, you vessel.
Yeah.
And now I'm pathetic and I can't do anything for myself.
You're a
and
house.
I'm a house.
You're a house.
I'm a house that probably could use a new roof, you know?
And you know what? It's a really needy tenant in there. She's always bitching about the plumbing, the food. There's like, this is shit. I only like watermelon today.
This
it's
probably
nuts.
A bitch is just killing me.
This probably a bitch. How much longer until you find out the sex?
I don't know. Maybe this Thursday. Ooh. Maybe this week. I don't know.
I'm gonna go. You know what? I know you say girl, and you know you should trust your body. So I'm gonna go with the boy.
Okay. I'm gonna say that.
I'm going hermaphrodite.
Oh.
Do we have to impose a sex on him? Can't they just decide?
Yes, they can decide.
Not in my fucking house.
And that voice you hear to my right is none other than my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth.
Yes.
Well, know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's on the show this evening?
I'm part of the movie. I'm Burt Young.
Oh, yeah. Burt Young.
Wow.
You're crazy.
Dead on.
So happy.
Go Burt Eagles.
Young from Back to the Future. I mean, where was it? Not Back to School.
Yeah. Well, kind of like, yeah.
And our special guest this evening is none other than 98 Rock fame and Robin Joe Show success, Mr. Joe Robinson. Joe,
yay.
Thanks. Welcome. My Burt Young in Back to School, it reminded me of a Jeremy reference. It had nothing to do with what we were talking about. It derailed the show, and I threw it in there. But at least people have seen the movie Back to School. When Jeremy does a reference, he'll be like, oh, that reminds me of Tom Bickerstaff from Gremlins 9.
Hey,
he was radio show host.
How many Paul Zadar references can you
That's Robert Zadar.
Robert Zadar,
ding,
yes.
Yeah.
I think his brother was Paul.
Paul Zadar is his brother.
And his face is even more ginormous than Robert Zadar.
Oh, Robert's my favorite Zadar, clearly.
I like. Honestly,
he's on my Mount Rushmore of Zadar.
I hate that we have to bring up that I brought up Robert Zadar again, but I really looked at him. He looks like if you just took Charlie Sheen and injected his face with every injection that you could possibly do.
Mount Rushmore is to have Jay Leno next to Rusty from the Cher movie with the freakish face and Robert Zadar.
It was Rocky, by the way. Joe Robinson, correction, yes.
Was it
Speaking
Rocky
of
Rocky,
yes, it was Rocky.
Rocky Dennis.
Rocky Dennis.
Played by Eric
Apropos,
Spence.
Of course, since we are now today talking about...
Rocky IV is our big topic this week. Oh, man. This has been one in the making ever since Joe Robinson said that he wanted to do it.
I got so excited when you said we were watching Rocky IV. I become a bigger fan of Rocky every time I watch it.
As a child growing up, this movie came out, 1985?
84.
Right? No, let's.
Four.
I'm going to go with Eric on this.
Four. 1985. Yeah.
Five.
If there's ever been
five.
A day to split hairs.
85. There it is.
What?
85.
Be yelling that shit you don't.
Damn it!
Yeah.
I could have swore my IMDb
goes
said
to show four. You. And this was the first Rocky movie that I actually saw as a child growing up. I was born 83.
It's a good place to start.
Yeah. No, well, imagine you started with this one. You're like, wait a minute, there's other Rockies, and there's so much. There's so
this
good.
One didn't win Best Picture. You're saying there's another one that's better than this?
And he's poor most of the time?
Impossible.
What? Oh, gosh.
Question was this before or after First Blood?
It's actually the same year. Yeah. Same year as it came out.
Can you imagine being that big that year? Like,
no, this
that's
is,
fucking crazy.
Those two movies are gigantic, and this is the biggest grossing Rocky.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
This one, yeah. Bigger than all of them.
Well, it's also the biggest grossing propaganda that the United States has gotten to enjoy.
That is true. And you know what? I heard it's really big in Russia, although it's only like a 30-minute movie. Just dies after he kills Apollo. Like, that's
and
the
then
view.
The movie ends.
And they just roll the Soviet Union national anthem.
It's a sitcom.
Yeah. When I first watched Rocky, I found it on demand. They had all of them, and I was like, "Ooh, I'm about to dive in deep." I think I did it all in 2 days. I watched Rocky 1, loved it. Rocky 2, really good follow up. Skip Rocky 3. I don't need to know about that. And went right to Rocky 4.
Rocky 3 is a good one.
I know, but I kind of already knew what it was going to be like. Okay. So I was like, I'm just going to go to the Russian one. He looks scary.
Okay, who in the room knows which one has his real son in it?
Oh, it's Rocky 5.
Yeah, that's
nope,
correct.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's the one he was being bullied,
yeah, Rocky
right?
5. Yeah,
it is Rocky 5. Wrong. Come on, Jeremy, you're not doing too well today.
Now, the funny thing is, I met Sage Stallone, and I've become a newer fan of him because he started trying to re-release Cannibal Holocaust.
See, Jeremy, this is the kind of shit I was just talking about.
His son's name is right Sage. Here. Wait, his son's name is Sage.
Sage.
Ugh.
And real dumpy, real not a good-looking guy at all. Obviously did not
what?
Get either of his parents' good looks.
You know, Sylvester Stallone didn't make an attractive child?
But he started working with this unknown director, which I love, called Damon Packard over in California.
Damon Packard, first of
Damon
all.
Damon Packard.
I have been
tens of people know.
Listen, now there's probably less than 10 people that know about this guy, Damon Packard.
But let's talk about him.
Jeremy made me watch this movie by Damon Packard. He's like, it's the best movie you're ever going to see. What is this movie
Reflections
called?
Reflections of Evil.
Reflections of Evil. This is... Honestly, on a scale of like worst movies I've ever seen, this is the worst movie I've ever seen in my whole
that
life.
That says a and, lot coming from
and
you.
And it's real bad.
You watch a lot of shit.
I've seen a lot of bad movies in my day. But this
I think
is
Joe would love
far,
it.
No, he
would. Yes, he would.
He'd be mocking
it's,
you.
It's more of our generation.
Yes, I'm
our
sure.
older generation that's over 30. So. No, but he has Sage Stallone in the movie just doing stupid, crazy shit. And of course...
Unlike the serious acting he normally does. The Oscar-worthy acting you normally see out of Sage.
And the word got out... And the word got out that that Sage showed a little bit this to his father, and Sylvester's like, "What the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You're no longer my son."
And there is a small scene where you actually hear Sage doing his own father impression, which is really dead on. It's like, he's just rambling on. He's like, "What are you doing?" Yep. Just perfect Rocky.
What is that like though? Growing up, and you have Sylvester Stallone, who's, you know, shat on as being such a shitty actor for the most part. I mean, yeah, he's made some really great movies, but he's universally shat upon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then him just coming in, he's like, "Well, let me tell you, this is what you got to do to act." And
right.
Just constantly giving him acting
like,
pointers.
Yeah, I'm good, Dad. I don't need your advice.
He's like, "I'm going to go to Uncle Frank and get some more pointers."
I saw Rhinestone, Dad.
You just got to make fun of the way he talks. Like, "Oh, is that how you act? Is that how you act? I didn't know."
Let me ask. Did you talk like you've been punched a million times and then act like really dramatic and then cry because you're poor from Philly? I think you got that nailed, Dad. back to Rocky IV. It opens up with a flashback. So I also noticed that 80% of this movie is literally just scenes from either the beginning of this movie or all the other movies.
I mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Later on, we're going to see a montage that includes clips from all of the three
all
previous Rockies,
yes,
including clips from earlier in the movie that you're watching.
Yeah, a lot.
So you get to see the whole chronology of him from a no-name fighting Spider Rico in the first movie all the way up to...
Well, let's face it, most of my demographic is drunk.
I almost wanted to see a clip from him on Bananas on a subway train. So
it opens up with two giant boxing gloves, and one thing you might notice is that it's a USA and the USSR boxing gloves, and what you'll notice is for a split second, the USSR boxing glove splits apart and then breaks.
I wrote that down as my first note. One thing that you know and you'll continue to see is the only time the USA is ever defeated in this film is when they are being cheated on. That's the only way.
Yeah.
Every other time, there's no way that these guys could ever beat us unless there was something. But even when the two gloves slowly turn at the beginning and then they charge towards one another, you can see the glove from the Soviet Union falls to the ground.
Yeah.
The
only other movie,
we even win the credits.
The only other movie that comes close to this greatness has to be from Orgasmo, with Ron Jeremy's face being beaten in as a giant ceramic Ron Jeremy's face. So.
Yeah, that is good. A good reference, Jeremy. Good reference.
Keep him coming, Jeremy.
Very on time.
All right, now I got to get rid of all my Orgasmo.
Yes, I beat him to it. The Orgasmo joke.
Also, this is the only Rocky movie that doesn't start with the scrolling word Rocky across. Little fun fact.
Even the ones after?
Even the ones after start out with Rocky Balboa and Rocky V. They all start with scrolling letters that say Rocky. This is the only one that isn't.
Is this also the first one where Jason isn't actually the killer? It's a different killer?
That is true. Thanks. So. Yes, Jeremy.
Sorry.
He's on fire tonight. And it's the start of part four, which is literally the first 5 minutes is nothing but the ending to part three.
That's all they show.
I said while I was watching this, like, how mad would you be if in 1980 whatever, you paid $9 to get into the movie, the third one, and then you paid, because of inflation, probably $12 in 1985 to see four, and you were like, I didn't even have to fucking go to the last one.
I don't think anybody was pissed. I think everybody who saw that was too dumb to remember what had happened two years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Oh, yeah, I remember they fought at the end of Rocky III. They were doing a little sparring, which, by the way, that sparring event that they show in this movie actually comes back later in the movie Apollo Creed, because when he meets Apollo Creed's son in that movie, he talks about, I know you guys fought once and twice, but I heard that there was a third match where you guys fought in an isolated gym. Who won that? He's like, we don't really talk about that. We still don't know whoever won
that. Because somebody's dick slid into somebody's butt and they don't want to talk about it anymore.
Well, I'm just saying, they made Rocky 1 and 2. They never had the rubber match that solved who's better, Apollo or Rocky. Really?
Keeps you coming back.
I'm going to guess that it was filmed and it was deleted and it ended with them on the Mets having sex and having a smoke after that. So, yes.
Yeah, I know this is Rocky IV, but one of the most homoerotic scenes is in Rocky III. And they show it briefly in a montage in here, is when they're running on the beach and they embrace each other. And it's like this slow motion embrace. It's one of, like, honestly, it should just be the poster for every gay pride parade you've ever seen.
What,
like,
happens in that scene, if we could break that down from the previous movie, is somehow Apollo Creed has now trained Rocky to sprint faster than him over this period of time. This short Italian guy who's roided up beyond belief is now beating in the 100-yard dash a very much taller, thinner black man who was also off-screen played professional football, and he had somehow trained him to beat him, and then they hug. He was thrilled that happened.
That's the reward. It's like when you win the softball game and you get snow cones.
I just wanted to see the CGI slow-mo of them jumping together as their nipples just touch and there's like electricity between their nipples. So, you know.
I remember that part. That is actually a deleted scene.
What?
Now, the first actual shot of the new movie is Rocky coming home to his son videotaping him on, like, I miss
on
old school
nice,
80s
sweet
technology.
JVC.
Man, it looked like a direct, like, to VHS record.
It wasn't much smaller, like Jason Michael J. Fox's in Back to the Future.
Now,
it's
very, very similar in size.
Was he being recorded or interrogated? That fucking light. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Uncle Paulie's birthday. We get to meet all the old characters. Uncle Paulie's in there. Adrian is in his. You hate Uncle Paulie?
Every time I see him, he's disgusting. And I even said while I was watching it, I was like, he's even got clothes on this time, and he's still, all I can see is his head, and he's fucking gross.
Kim's right. Remember in Rocky 1, he was almost abusive.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally abusive.
He was. Now he's living in their house. He's wearing a wife beater. He's pissed that he's not getting his cake soon.
Hair
fuck this
everywhere.
Guy.
Yeah, Uncle Paulie is such a dick. I like that he grew up in squalor, but he refuses to ever improve his own life. Like, yeah. He's living a comfortable life now just off of Rocky's dime.
Rock, get me out of this meat locker. Okay, it's cold in here. Yeah. I'd rather run money for the mob and be a better person.
We also see the big gift for Paulie, which is a fucking robot.
It's so stupid.
We get to meet a fucking robot.
You say
robot.
Stupid, but the technology. We have not even been able to achieve that today.
Yes.
The technology, something amazing happens with this robot later, I'm sure.
Wait. You're saying we can't achieve something that makes phone calls and plays music and responds to commands.
Well, maybe you don't. I don't want to flash
forward. I'm pretty sure we have that.
Let's get the robot out of the way. Let's get the robot out of the way.
You understand that Paulie, he's dumber than Rocky, right?
Yeah.
Somehow he reprograms this to become a woman.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why you would do that. I mean, are you so threatened by your own sexuality that you don't want to be served by a man? Or is he fucking this thing? That's what I choose to believe. And by the way, I would not fuck this thing. It looks not hot at all, right? If I think of a love model, it doesn't have to be Cherry 2000, but it's got to at least resemble a human. I'm just going to stick my dick in that fucking duct over there.
In a vacuum with a boombox head.
I want it to look like E.T. fucked the Silver Surfer. Like, that's what this robot looks like.
I want
it
to look at least like a man inside a woman's suit.
If I'm Paulie, there's nothing I won't rub up against. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably the hottest chick. But he turns her into a woman. He's able to reprogram her. But then she turns into a bitch later on. She starts nagging him, reminding him of shit.
Make sure you bring your toothpaste. Your breath smells horrible after you smoke. And he says, when I get back, I'm going to get her wires tied. And I'm like, oh,
well,
Jesus.
He seems to be the guy who knows how to do all this stuff. And one more thing, if you remember at the very, very end, we only see the robot one more time. And he's back to being a man. He's Santa Claus now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He has a giant robot head, and he's wearing the white beard. And, of course, that's because these kids were left home on Christmas during where their parents were in Siberia. But anyway, go ahead.
It's fine. We'll leave him with a machine. It's fine.
The worst thing is this is just Stallone just like rubbing in his face. I got a robot and a Lamborghini now. Fuck everybody. Fuck everybody in Hollywood.
Now,
so.
Oddly enough, this robot that's in this movie actually has a fucking SAG card. Do you understand?
He's part
of the union because his voiceover, the company that made him, was actually, they brought him out to like swanky Hollywood parties. Sylvester Stallone saw it at a party. He was like, yeah, I think that'd be cool. I put it in the movie. And now it has a SAG card and it's been in like a couple other like small parts, but it literally pays its fee to be in the Screen Actors Guild.
I swear to this, but I'll bet you that robot had more lines than Drago. It's close.
It's right on par.
Close, yeah.
Right,
I would also venture to guess that this robot having a SAG card means it's been for decades more successful than 90% of the comedians we know personally who now live in LA.
You're shooting way low at 90.
Yeah.
And then the saddest part of all is that the robot was a better actor than Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
A lot more emotions. So.
Yeah. A couple little tidbits because this movie doesn't have a lot of meat and potatoes. But the next scene, you see Rocky. He enters the bedroom in pajamas that can only be described as ready to fight a bull.
Yeah, why?
He's rich. That's what rich people. You don't know because you don't have any money.
We both sat there watching it. Like, is he wearing? Is that a gi or did he win something?
It's not karate. It says I'm ready to stab meat. That's it. And apparently he brings in an anniversary cake. So his anniversary and Paulie's birthday are on the same day. Like, what a dick
weird.
Move. What a dick move. You decided to get married on Paulie's birthday.
And he called the present he gave her a prize.
Yes.
Is anybody else bothered by that?
He says it three times.
Here's your prize.
He's like, look, I know you're supposed to be the dumbest guy in this film, but it's got clearly it's a present.
She won this.
And it's a cake of them boxing, and it clearly looks like Adrian's taking the brunt of it. Like, she's stunned on the cake. Like, she's taking a good shot. Like, Adrian could take a good shot. What can I say?
That's why I love my wife.
That's why I love my wife.
Well, and I'm a guy, so I don't... Well, I have a girlfriend who loves jewelry, but I don't have the confidence to buy her jewelry because I'm always afraid I'm going to, you know...
Have you gone to Jared?
This tacky shit, right?
Sure.
But this bracelet that he gave to Adrian that snaked around, that was a piece of shit, right? That was a horrible...
Oh, you mean the arm hair snatcher?
Yes.
The arm hair catcher?
He won that out of like a fucking claw machine.
That's why
Ocean
I called
City.
It a prize.
Look, I got you a Philadelphia Eagles emblem. You can wear it. Hey, if you look pretty fucking hot.
If you're Adrian, aren't you like, you know, you're driving a Ferrari, Dick. Can you just get me something with a diamond in it?
Thanks for this wash, Dick Nugget.
So, next, we see the arrival of Ivan Drago. Apollo is watching him on TV as Drago's calling out Rocky, saying he wants to fight the champ. And you kind of get a mixture of Apollo is not happy because A, he doesn't like that he's bad-mouthing his boy, and B, he's kind of mad that he's not in the spotlight anymore. You know, it's been a whole movie since Apollo has been important, and he kind of feels like he's been left
by
the wayside.
In that he's the one fighting for the championship or the notoriety.
Yeah.
Couple things. First of all, you know, Drago, he came to his country with nothing to do.
Yeah.
He just showed up. He had no fights. They were just like, here's this guy. Take a look at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought he's like one of the best amateurs in Russia.
Yeah, he was the best amateur in Russia. That's the only thing he says. Because he comes out as they say he's an amateur.
Can I say who the most underrated actor out of all of actordom is now?
Sure. Sure. Yes.
And that's...
No, you please set it up and don't tell us.
You know what? I really don't want to know shit. Anyway, okay. So what happens now?
Okay. Okay. So Apollo Creed, otherwise known as Carl Weathers, he's in the movie Predator.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Schwarzenegger, he says, "What? We are not expendable." Okay, they have a big fucking thing called Expendables 1, 2, and 3, and Carl Weathers has not been in any of those yet.
Why
think
Carl
about
Weathers
that.
Made it into
but
the
he
Expendables.
Is in Arrested Development as an acting teacher who is
so
the cheapest
good.
Human being.
And he hasn't been a governor yet.
Yeah.
Between Ventura and Schwarzenegger.
When he tells him that steak bone is good to make a
that's
stew.
That's good for a stew.
God damn it, that's so funny.
Hey, you say the bones afterwards, you throw it in water, you got to get yourself a good stew.
You got yourself a stew.
God, Arrested Development and
so good.
I love him in that.
I met Weathers at Chiller. He was a sweet, sweet man.
I bet he is.
All right, back on track. All right, we get to see advanced 80s technology as we found out that Drago can punch 1,850 PSI.
Scary.
And then the guy says, whatever it hits, it is destroyed.
Wait a second, is this metric?
Yeah.
He also says he averages. And I'm saying, well, no, that's a sample size of one,
yes,
Dick. You have to compile numbers to come up with an average just because you read it. And you notice that another thing. He comes over, he's got nobody to fight.
Mm-hmm.
His fucking wife is just marionetting this motherfucker. He doesn't have his own free will or anything.
The very lovely Brigitte Nielsen.
All these other people are speaking on his behalf. But when he trains, somehow he's able to bring a whole entire lab of people.
Yeah.
Just 50 people in lab coats looking at LEDs and different numbers. I'm like, what? Why are they all here?
Do you
guys,
remember?
Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to Russia. For what? We don't know exactly. We'll tell you when we get there. Maybe somebody want to fight us. Maybe not. Maybe
honestly,
James Brown will say, I don't know. But come on over. Everyone come with us.
Honestly,
we're doing
this.
Can we say prequel? Because everybody knows that he gets back into a giant truck and he has to keep cool all the time or else he explodes.
Okay, Universal Soldier reference.
Prequel!
I got it. I got your deep cut. I got it.
Prequel!
One more thing, Eric. We hear his nickname and it's only said one time and it's said during this scene. What is it? Do you remember what it is?
Ooh, I didn't have that in my notes.
It is Stevie? The Siberian Express.
Oh, yeah!
Can I also say my favorite part of the scene when they ask about the steroids and he gets this look like steroids?
Who knows what those are?
Hell no!
Who knows what those are? Interesting little tidbit. All the people that are playing Russians in this movie, there's not one Russian actor at all in this film.
I really thought that Dolph was like some sort of Germanic, but he's Swede.
He's a Swede. Brigitte Nielsen is
Danish.
And
half Italian.
Everybody else is American. So everybody else is just a fake Russian accent.
Now, you know, Dolph Lundgren was here, though, in the States. Do you know what he was doing?
He's like he's some type of scientist. I'm sure he's doing science shit.
He's a little school called MIT.
Yeah.
So apparently he was a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, I saw a meme that showed that how it was trying to shit on Donald Trump, saying that how Dolph Lundgren is more qualified to be a president than Donald Trump. And then when I saw Dolph Lundgren's credits, I was like, well, he's more qualified than like our last four or five presidents. Yeah, if we're being honest,
yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Which one of them graduated from MIT? None of them. I mean, I don't know. There probably isn't one president that has graduated from MIT.
I just want somebody in his class to give him shit, and he's like, why don't you use a vacuum tube?
So Dolph Lundgren studied at MIT. Well, Bruce Willis was in his own blues band, so suck
Return
on that.
Return of Bruno.
That's so right? bad. Wasn't that it? So yeah. bad.
Next, we see Apollo, Rocky, and Adrian sitting at a table. Apollo wants to fight Drago. He's laying out his story. Adrian attempts to be the voice of reason, tells him not to do it. Apollo is sure that Drago is too slow and clumsy, and he can take him. Later in the night,
Before
Rocky,
you continue, can I ask, why the fuck is Adrian there? I'm like, bitch, I didn't invite you to my conversation with another heavyweight fighter. Why are you here? You don't have a wife.
However,
she'll go ahead and provide the advice of my safety. Why do you care so much about me? Can you please? I came over here to talk to your husband. And what kind
However, did you notice that when she left the room, Apollo stood up? When is the last time you've seen that happen? You know what? You know what, Apollo? Way to be a gentleman.
When I was overseas with the military.
And that lady they like to rape a lot left the room, so they stood
up. And all these other guys that don't fuck. anyway, so...
Can I answer the question why these are both foreigners, but somehow they're... Just because they're foreigners, now they're Russian? And it took me a whole second. Butch haircuts. So
That's what makes Russia?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you can, listen, 80s is the year, like the years where like a short haircut on a woman was hot.
Yeah, Grace Jones, Annie Lennox, Brigitte Nielsen.
I still have nightmares about, what's the black one?
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones. Grace Jones, like, literally eating my dick.
Oh yeah, great.
Oh, that's just scared.
I
meant to say it in my Vietnam Tom voice.
I'm glad you.
All racism comes from Vietnam Tom.
I'm glad you saved that for Black History Month. Thank you, sir. God, piece of shit. So anyway,
this month we're highlighting Grace Jones, who has a penis.
Apollo and Rocky start watching Rocky 1 later that night. Do you realize you're sitting there watching the Rocky 1? Like, how much are you sucking your own dicks that you guys? Hey, let's get together and watch our greatest fight.
Movie we win
and
is pretty good.
He's like, only if we watch Rocky 2 right after, but I'll watch Rocky 1 real quick.
I remember the scene when I threw my helmet at my own statue. That wasn't in the ring? What are you talking about?
Rocky tries to level with Apollo one-on-one without Adrian and says, you should probably hang it up, and Apollo is not taking it well. He says, what's a warrior without a war? Oh.
He also says, you sure it's not you versus you?
Yeah. And he gets pissed.
And I'm like, God, it's so, you know, they emote. So everybody gets an opportunity to emote. We had Adrian who gets to emote one more time. Now Rocky gets to emote. You'll see it all happen. Apollo got to emote when he wanted to fight this Russian for the dignity of the United States, whatever he's doing. But isn't Rocky, remember, he's a dumbass. That's the whole idea. He's a leg breaker. Why is he always having this sage advice? That's probably why he named his kid Sage. Why are you coming to him for advice? He's the dumbest motherfucker in every movie.
Yeah, well, he wasn't expecting him to put up a fight at all. Like, this is clearly, it's really taking Apollo off. You're like, you're going to tell me the guy who, A, punched meat for three movies.
He couldn't even afford a heavy bag.
I think the deepest moment is like, your name is Rock. That's like rock, but you have to be more than rock. You have to be like steel. Oh, that's like harder than rock. Oh my gosh. Sorry.
Rocky reluctantly sees it Apollo's way and says, oh, okay, whatever. And he goes, the next, we see Apollo at a press conference with Drago doing what Apollo does best, talking some heavy shit. Apollo is going back and forth. Brigitte Nielsen says, it will be a good victory. And Apollo retorts, I've retired more men than Social Security. Great
Bye-bye.
Line. That's a pretty good line. Now, that's a pretty good line.
That's about his fifth joke. One of the jokes was done by Rocky, and he says, do you have any advice? He says, get a ladder. Another hilarious.
Good.
And they are
good.
Laughing. Oh. Like, it was very similar to last week's episode of the show with the last Boy Scout, where it's an unreasonable response. I mean, I've done stand-up. I know that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Get it?
Because he's tall. Oh, so, fuck.
Ultimately.
That's why he's the champ. That's why he's the champ.
The Russians are very offended by this, and it ends in a shoving match. And ultimately, Apollo walks away pretty happy with the press conference. He's like, yeah, we got good press for it. Yeah, this looks good.
By the way, as of now, Drago has not said one word the entire movie. We have not heard him speak one time. He was in full uniform, but he did not say one word,
also,
nor has he.
They didn't have to resort to getting their faces so close they almost kiss.
Do we ever find out in the deleted scenes whether or not he truly is a robot?
No, he's not. He's not a real robot. Although he is decked out in a full, like, Soviet soldier uniform. And through my research, what I found out is that he is a captain's uniform that's on. So he's a very high-ranking military official, apparently.
Shit.
And he's been awarded with basically the Russian equivalent of the Medal of Honor. So he's that's how good Drago is already.
Did we even know he was in the military?
We didn't, other than by just looking at
him. Short hair and the uniform, right?
Yes. Next, we see Rocky talking with Apollo in the locker room, and he says he asks him one last time, Apollo, maybe we should just postpone this thing. We really don't know who this guy is. Apollo is worried if he postpones, then some other chump will beat him.
that seems pretty reasonable, before the fight, right before you walk out.
This seems bad. Like,
the person that is your most closest confidant says, you know, you probably shouldn't do this.
Yes.
Right as you're walking out.
It's bad news, right? That's not somebody that you should have in your corner at that point. And then we get to see probably WWE has never done an entrance as good as what Apollo Creed is about to do right here.
So goddamn ridiculous.
He comes out, first of all, they raise Dolph Lundgren up from the middle of the ring is on hydraulics, so it opens up and comes up, and
it's just
Dolph Lundgren in the middle of the ring.
He's also surprised. Nobody told him.
He looks scared.
They put him out there and they're like, don't just stand there. You don't know what's happening.
I'm surprised he didn't put his arms out like when an elevator gives way a little bit and you're
earthquake?
Like, fuck.
Right. You're 100% right. And he looks around like, I've never seen lights before. I didn't know this was gonna happen. I didn't know I was in a boxing ring. I didn't know there'd be people.
Meanwhile, he trains in a robot lab.
Yeah. And then he comes up and it is James Brown, not just James Brown, but a full, like, 30-piece band, 15 to 20 dancers, and singing Living in America, which was made just for this movie, which, incidentally, was James Brown's last top 40 hit.
Really? That's
his
really sad.
Biggest hit.
It wasn't his biggest hit.
All time.
Wow.
Do you like I Feel Good?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't as big as this.
Not as big
Papa's
as
you
got
like
a brand
Papa's
new
you like that? You
Papa's
like that
got
song?
A brand new bag?
No.
Not bigger than this song?
A Man's World?
Living in America. No. Living in America.
That makes me
Rocky
really
IV,
sad.
Behind the power of this movie was the number 4 song in America. It's James Brown's biggest hit, Living in
I'm
America.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed in America.
And thanks to this, we have an even better song called Living with a Hernia.
Living with a Hernia.
Egos bleed. Epic. Gastric.
I know this is
bladder.
I know this is off topic, but since you brought up Weird Al, Jeremy, Tommy, and I are forming a Weird Al tribute band called Amish Para Guys, and we're probably going to bring you into the mix. I just think the idea of having a Weird Al cover band only, and we don't acknowledge that there's any other songs that these are not parodies. We just acknowledge that these are the only songs. Like,
can I play
you
the
play
scraper?
Lola? You're like, hey, can you play Lola? We don't know what that song is. We've never even heard of
can
it.
Can I play like Washboard?
Yeah. Yes, you can play Washboard. Do you know somebody who plays Squeezebox? You know a Squeezeboxer? Can you learn the accordion?
No, there's way too many notes. I'd just be playing crap. Might as well play the bagpipes.
So anyway, back on with it. So he comes down, and on top of this, a full James Brown band playing him. Apollo is coming down on a giant golden bull's head, mm-hmm. wearing the stars and stripes.
That he punches in the face.
That he's looking real hard.
Yeah.
He's looking real hard.
The bull, I don't... It's gets no reference to America. Nothing. It has nothing to do with Apollo Creed's
stock
nickname.
Market, bro.
Is that it? It's, okay, got
I think he was advertising for Schlitz.
Yes, brought to you by Schlitz, motherfucker.
I think we're underestimating the use of propaganda here. The 80s was the height of Wall Street.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it was a bull
market.
Yeah,
the bull market. Yeah.
Bull
right?
Market.
The propaganda, the Cold War.
All
right.
Reaganomics, you know? Are at its best going towards 8% economic growth. So
he punches it and it falls apart like a rusty pinata.
I hate to say that that moment with coming down on the golden bull reminded me of James Finn.
Thank you. You got your obligatory James.
Sorry, I've been working that one up. I missed him last week. So.
Brigitte Nielsen has a brief little speaking part where he goes up to Apollo's wife and says, "I hope we can be friends after." I don't think they're going to be friends after.
You
this.
Know, one thing I noticed about that
after he's dead,
that seemed like a very gracious thing. For
it
her
was.
To do.
I took
but
it
the
very
first
nice.
First thing that Apollo's wife did was like, "Nah, you fucking bitch."
Yeah. She warmed her up a little.
She did. She
the
turned
second
her
thing because she
yes.
goes, "After all, they're." You know, sportsmen, they're not soldiers. And she was like, well,
all right,
you got something
maybe
there.
You're not
but
so
then
bad.
As soon as she walked away, she went back to being shitty.
I will console you after your husband is dead.
Fucking sports wives.
So they come into the ring, they tap gloves, and Apollo can't move Ivan Drago's gloves. Like, you know, when you do the little, like, up, down, tap, he can't move his gloves. He's like, uh-oh. Oh, maybe this guy
should have been sign number one.
Yeah. Maybe this guy's a little stronger than what I thought.
We also hear Drago's first line, which
first line.
Is a fucking
mm-hmm.
great line. It's a
scary.
Great line. He doesn't know all the words. He only knows a few. Mm-hmm. And he says, you will lose.
Yes. Right in the eyes.
He is 100% correct.
That motherfucker loses.
One more thing
real
before
crazy.
We continue. I'm not sure how this happened. Probably merchandising, but all three of the people in the corner of Apollo Creed are wearing these Hugo Boss sweatshirts.
Yes.
Those are just the fuck. If you saw one of those today, you just would crack up.
Pauly,
they all have them on.
I want one now. Like, after watching it, I'd love a giant Hugo
yeah.
Boss sweatshirt.
Pauly
like
got
that.
A brand new, brand name sweatshirt and still looks like a dumpster in shoes.
I just wear FUBU all the time.
He makes Frank from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia
yeah.
look like a catch.
Seriously.
Like, that's how bad
seriously.
He looks.
At least Frank is smart enough to scheme on his own.
So enter the first round, and there's a little bit of dancing, but Apollo ends up getting fucking pulverized in the corner. Like, it's bad. It looks like you should stop the fight at the end of the first round. Rocky tells Apollo he's got to call the fight, and Apollo says, don't you stop this fight, no matter what. No matter what. And then round two starts. He goes, and meanwhile, right before round two starts, Drago goes, I cannot be defeated. I jumped ahead.
Okay.
I fucked up my own notes.
Go back. It's
but
okay.
He basically, round two gets in there and it's not looking good for Apollo. It's more of the same. Rocky hits up on the corner to actually, he's holding the towel like he's going to throw it in. Even his own trainer, Apollo's real trainer, is standing there saying, throw the goddamn towel,
the
man!
One who he's couldn't upset. Find a towel? That
yeah, the
guy?
One who
right.
couldn't find a towel. And
I'm not the towel thrower. That's your job. You're the one that's got to do it.
Drago
he
ends
up dropping it as he tries to throw it. Damn it!
Drago ends up punching him until you see a fatal shot where he gets knocked out. And Carl Weathers does actually an amazing job as an actor where he
yes,
literally
he doesn't
face,
put his hands down. I thought of the same
face
thing.
Face first right into the mat and eats it real hard and does a twitch.
One thing you left out, which is critical, is that Drago throws off the referee. So you still have to throw in the towel. The referee's yes. fine with being thrown off as
right.
he's killing this
yes,
guy.
Yes.
The referee
literally
is coming in
him.
To stop the fight. He
yeah.
doesn't need the towel doesn't need to be thrown.
Right.
He says no, and he pushes Goss, because remember, 118, average of 1850 PSI, so
yeah,
throws
yeah.
off the referee. Then he kills a man. And then everybody's like, oh, cool, he won the fight.
Yes, that's fine. So as he's sitting there, he goes in the press conference. You know, the guys come in with the mics to talk to Drago after the fight. And he's down, and Rocky is holding Apollo in his hands. And you can hear Drago go, I cannot be defeated. I beat the old man. And now I defeat a real champion. And he looks at it, and this is one of the best lines that Drago says, if he dies... He dies.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And then the true ending of the movie.
That's how they feel about babies in the NICU once they've done all they can do.
I know.
I would like to point out a very crucial thing that made me very upset. Two things, okay? First of all, the trainers look like they have their eyeballs are about to explode. It made me think of like a sketch where like the boxer sits in the corner and their trainers all run to them, but then one of the trainers sits in another corner and doctors all run to them and they're like, your hypertension is fucking serious. You need to breathe. Do your meditations because I can see it in your eyeballs. Your blood vessels are bursting. The other thing was fucking newspaper people, fucking the press, the commentators, yeah, cheerleaders, one of the Dallas Cowboys, a baker,
James Brown.
All these people rush the fucking ring. You know who didn't? Yeah. A goddamn doctor.
He can't get a goddamn doctor.
He died. And then nobody was like, stop, move. We need somebody in here. Even Rocky was allowed to stay. Like,
Now, one thing we do know from previous movies is that by this time, Apollo already had a child out of wedlock. Are you guys aware of that?
Yeah,
that's a fact. As he's laying on the canvas, breathing his last breath, there's another child out there that's going to be in a movie in a few years.
And then the movie was going to be called Assassin's Creed.
Okay. Now, a little tidbit from behind the scenes. Apparently, off screen, there was a lot of heat between Carl Weathers and Dolph Lundgren filming this scene that actually resulted in Lundgren literally throwing Carl Weathers across the ring into the corner, and Carl Weathers was so fucking pissed that he walked off set, called his agent, and said he was quitting the movie. For 4 days, all production stopped on the film until Stallone could sit them both down and made them squash their beef. And
oh my God.
So this stopped production for 4 days because of how rough Dolph Lundgren was in the ring.
Which is hilarious because they're playing these like super macho, huge muscles. Yeah. But they have to sit down as actors and talk about their feelings.
Well, listen, this
is not a real fight.
Well,
You know, Dolph Lundgren was a martial arts champion.
Yeah.
So he could actually hurt
somebody. He could fuck you up. Well, this is going to come into later when the Rocky scenes, when the Rocky's fight is filmed. Dolph Lundgren is maybe taking some liberties with guys in the ring because when they're filming the movie, Sylvester Stallone actually asked, he was just like, all right, for 15 seconds, I want to see some real shots just to make it good. Well, Dolph Lundgren isn't just like fucking tapping this guy and giving him, he's fucking hitting people hard as shit. And it's going to come into play later when we go over the Rocky scene.
Wait a minute. What you're saying is a guy playing a Russian started cheating?
Yes.
Now, one other thing is when Apollo Creed is getting killed, Duke is the other trainer he's in every movie, but he has three lines in every movie. He says, this is supposed to be an exhibition, as if they weren't supposed to hurt one another.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, if he had known it was an exhibition, maybe he'd still be alive today.
That is, maybe he would. Maybe
it's just like the fight between him and Hulk Hogan. He's like, I thought this was an exhibition. You're going nuts on me.
Thunder lips. Well, it's interesting that you brought up Hulk Hogan, because Hulk Hogan is actually in the third movie. He plays a character called Thunder Lips. And this is one of the main reasons why, if you've never heard of Chuck Wepner, Chuck Wepner is really the guy who the movie Rocky is based on. It's inspired by it. I mean, Sylvester Stallone has said it in interviews before, and Chuck Wepner sued him because he didn't pay him a goddamn dime. Sylvester Stallone didn't. And then he went on a couple of years saying that, you know, it has nothing to do with Chuck Wepner. Yeah, I saw Chuck Wepner's fight. It might have inspired it, but it's not about him. You know, he tried to downplay that fact, and it was settled out of court for an undisclosed amount of money. So
$50.
Eventually, he paid Chuck Wepner some amount of money for this. But Chuck Wepner is known for basically going 15 rounds with almost a full 15 with Muhammad Ali.
Damn.
And taking one of the worst ass whoopings. Have you ever watched this fight?
Yeah,
you
know? No.
He knocked down Ali. He said he stepped on his foot. There's a big controversy about that.
Yeah.
But Chuck Wepner, there's a movie called Wepner, which is actually
a really great movie.
And the guy, Liv Schreiber is his name.
Yes. Mm.
He plays Chuck Wepner. It's
excellent. Shit.
And
can I ask if this movie is in any way documented with voiceovers by Judge Wapner?
No, yes, Judge Wapner.
Okay, sorry.
But it is inspiring because if you ever watch that Ali fight with Chuck Wepner, at the 15th round with like, I think like 15 seconds left, they stop the fight and Wepner is bleeding profusely from his face, but he's sitting there going, you stop the fight like this, and he's hitting himself in the face. He's like, I could take so many more shots like
Jesus.
That. So that's why when you see a Rocky movie, how Rocky gets pulverized in every movie.
Because my dick is
hard. It's based off Chuck Wepner and this guy. By the way, if you want to see what a person who really fights like Rocky looks like, look at a picture of Chuck Wepner now.
Jesus.
And that's what it looks like to get punched in the face like 100,000 times.
Worth it. Oh, amazing. I choked on my own blood. I was just saying worth it.
Who is the comedian that said that if you ever got in a fight with Tyson and every single shot was worth $1,000, be like, I would just try to get hit as many times as humanly
that's
possible.
That's Tom Myers.
Yeah, that's right.
So next we have a brief heartfelt scene of at Apollo's funeral. Rocky gives a small heartfelt speech and
a small
says,
heartfelt unable to hear
says
speech.
I'll never forget you, Apollo.
The guy responsible for his death gave the eulogy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was the heavyweight champion of the world, and there were 32 people at his funeral.
Yes, that's it.
I think the worst part of the funeral is at the end when they finally pan over to Draco, and he's like, lower him into the grave. Why is he at the funeral? He just killed him. That's terrible.
What? He wasn't there. What are you talking about? Did you watch this movie, Jeremy?
Jerry makes
Welcome
up
to
stuff.
Reality.
That was a deleted scene.
Next is another press conference where they tell Rocky that he's too small. He has inferior genetics. The Russians are constantly playing victims. Paulie actually stands up at one point and says, hey, at least we don't keep all people behind walls. They go, who are you? And he goes, I'm the unsilent majority. Which was
Trump.
Which was a hot buzzword at the time because that's how Ronald Reagan supposedly got elected, is because there was a silent majority that wasn't...
Nothing to do with Jimmy Carter being like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Which unfortunately was black people, but they just stormed right over that like they do everything else. So
it was
fine.
What I thought was amazing is, first of all, if this was a real story, this would be the biggest fight in history.
Hell yeah.
But instead, Rocky has to vacate his title because they don't want him to fight this fight that everybody in the entire globe wants to see.
Yes.
Not only that, I'm sure this is in your notes, how much does Rocky get paid to fight in what would probably be the biggest fight in history?
And could kill him.
I don't have it in my notes, but I'm going to go with free.
Yeah.
He does it for $0 and 0 cents.
Pride. He does it for pride alone.
Which is $500 less than she went to the zone for a fuck doll.
Yes. Now, if you guys ever want to watch a movie that is the closest thing to Rocky IV that you'll ever see, there's a documentary called Pulling John. I believe it's available on Netflix still. Called Pulling John. It's about a guy named John Berzenk, who is the world's greatest American arm wrestler.
Nice.
And it is basically this movie. I'm not
Hell
lying. It
yeah.
doesn't have a guy who dies in it, but it's about a guy who's just the best arm wrestler from America. He thought he was going to blow up because of the movie Over the Top. He's in the movie Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
He was like for 20 years undefeated. He became a flight steward so that he could fly overseas for free and then compete with people. And this documentary is literally about the Russian government training a guy to beat John Berzenk.
Holy shit.
So if you ever want to watch
It's
called Pulling John.
Have you
really
ever seen The Men Who Stare at Goats?
Yes.
Seriously, one of my favorite movies. It's good. The part where they're like, the Russians think we're doing Psy research, so now we have to do Psy research just because they think we're doing Psy research and we're not doing Psy research. God
yes.
damn it. So great.
I love
And we're not molesting young actors on set. So.
One more thing I want to mention about the free fighting for free in a fight everybody wants to see. He also has to fight on Christmas.
Yes.
So they're like, listen, Dick, you're losing your title. You're not getting paid a dime. And it's going to be on the only day when we know you have something to do.
Yes,
can you imagine being a kid like wanting to watch this fight and your Gam Gam being like, no, turn it off. It's Christmas. Come in with the family. Fuck no! It's the biggest fight of the goddamn century.
So Rocky comes back after this press conference, and Adrian's back there, and it's you see Adrian drive up to her house, and she's mobbed by the press. By the way, only movie where Adrian drives. Only movie that Adrian is actually behind the wheel. Fun fact.
I'm surprised you didn't just run into the crowd.
That was the most important fact I've heard so far. So,
when Rocky gets home later that night, he goes, when are you going to Russia? And starts questioning him about why he's doing it. And Adrian has a pretty good line here. He's just like, where she goes, you can't win. He's too strong. He's too fast. He says, you have no chance of ever beating this
1800
guy.
1800 PSI.
Yeah. And,
what a bitch.
Way to support.
He doesn't support him at all in this. So that's got to hurt. He goes, it's suicide. You know how, you've seen him. You know how strong he is.
Your air compressor can't even give out 1800 PSI.
And Rocky can only respond by saying, maybe the only thing I could do is take everything he's got and kill me. And then.
Reassuring.
But he's got to have the heart to do it. So.
Well, yeah. I'll think of that when I'm selling this house because you're dead to pay for your child's future. Yeah. So that's fine.
Well,
thank you.
I think
you.
She's going to be all right.
This movie reminds me a lot of our murder mystery where we just take the same idea and just do it over and over. Adrian, we know you're going to have a problem with him fighting. We've already seen it in the first three prior movies. Can you just please just shut the fuck up? We know you're going to come around and something good's going to happen. We don't need to hear. Every time.
Your husband already watched the first one. Go back, watch the first three, and then tell me how you feel.
Although she was right when she bitched at Apollo about not fighting this guy, because he's dead.
She was already right.
Can we say the most important part of this film that makes it different is that, I guess he did in the other one, but this is the first time he fights a white person.
This is his first white fight.
Yes.
This is his first white fight. Now, after he leaves this, you get to see the first montage of the movie. And this is actually my favorite song from the movie. It's by Robert Tapper. And it's No Easy Way Out. And there maybe...
Nipple touch.
Isn't a more 80s song than this ever created.
Fact.
Like, this is... Well...
Dead. Hey, remember just like Washington?
Now, as you can see, this is where there are a montage with clips from all four Rocky movies, including the movie that you've already seen. And you said, is this the most 80s movie song? It may be, but the other two are also in this movie. The top three or four are in this movie.
There's so much 80s in this movie. And by the way, this is, 4 minutes and 24 seconds of the film where they just do nothing but recap, what's happened in this movie.
Uh-huh.
We're only a half hour in. We're 45 minutes in.
I remember the credits.
They show them over and over again, Apollo dying, and they show everything from Rocky 1 through 3 over again. And then, way out. Now, fun tidbit about my life. When I went to high school, little high school called Oakland Mills High School in Columbia, Maryland. Shout out, Scorps. We had
Aaron Magruder.
We have Aaron Magruder, the creator of
the Boondocks,
seriously?
Who went to Oakland Mills.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm still the and yeah. There's a lot of people from Columbia that did really good things, and I'm not one of them. But
okay.
I'm getting there. I'm really climbing. One day I'm going to climb the ranks. So there, but. At my school, we had one of the grimiest weight rooms ever, and there was only two CDs that you could play because Coach Singleton said, you're only allowed to play two CDs. Otherwise, I got to screen the music. And he was just like, well, will you listen to this? And he'll never listen to anything you have. So you only can play these two CDs that were there, or you could listen to the radio. And one of them was the best of Rocky. So I've listened to every Rocky song throughout my 4 years
so
of high school
every
day. So this was
Rocky 1, 2, 3, and 4.
All of them.
Okay.
Yeah, but all the best songs are from Rocky 4. I mean, other than
Eye
of
the Tiger. Yeah.
And what about Flying High now? Yeah. Which oddly enough this is the only Rocky that doesn't have that featured in it is Flying High Now.
It has a song in the vein of it, but it does not actually use the song.
There's a couple of chords during the montage that they kind of sneak in, but that's about it.
I'm going to guess the other CD you were allowed to listen to was either the Top Gun soundtrack or Flock of Seagulls.
No, it was not good though. I forget the other CD I believe was like, I think it was Smashing Pumpkins. It was the Smashing Pumpkins album that had Zero on it and all that, and Bullet with Butterfly Wings. That was the only other
Siamese
CD.
Dream.
And it didn't make sense because Coach Singleton was this very black man, but he actually sat down and listened to that one CD and cleared it. And he was like,
I really
this
love
one's good
the
to
fucking
go.
Smashing Pumpkins.
So we could listen to The That's World a is a Vampire. And I went to a school with like 60% black people, and they hated going to the weight room because you have to listen to those two albums, which
they're
is
very
rocky.
Weak black population in Oakland Hills. You know, one thing, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but after this montage, it is the shortest distance between two montages.
Oh yeah, yes. We're coming. It's going to be the rest of the next 30 minutes of this movie, we're going to get three montages, okay? This is number one.
Dreams do come true, fam.
After this, when he leaves for Siberia. Do they ever say Siberia? I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
I think
no,
he just gets, but as he's leaving, they then start another montage. It's 1 minute exactly in between the end of this montage and the beginning of the next one.
And they play this song right here, which is the
Burning Love song.
No.
It's Burning Heart by Survivor. And that's also the band that sang Eye of the Tiger.
The burning
there it is.
Venereal disease.
They play this song as they're landing in Russia. It's the Burning Heart!
It looks like they're coming in on a Stuka. That's what I don't understand.
If you listen to the words of this song, it's actually about this movie.
What's happening?
Yes.
Yeah.
East versus West or Man Against Man.
We were joking about that when we were watching it. I'd like it to be more direct of like what's happening. Like, should have listened to my wife. I should have packed more socks. It's a primitive past. Fitting is a frustration. Bravely we hope against all hope. If this doesn't make you want to fight to get up a flight of stairs, I don't know what to do for you.
Should have worn a thicker hat. Is it East versus West? Oh, man versus man.
Or Apollo versus Apollo.
Right, let's hear the chorus.
In the burning heart, just about to burst. There's a quest for answers and a bridge of the past. In the darkest night, rising like a spire. In the burning heart, the unmistakable fire. In the burning heart.
Now, one thing I love about this is much like Drago, when he was raised from the state, from the lower, the catacombs of whatever venue he was in, they apparently Sylvester Stallone did not tell anybody what was happening. He's like, look, we're going to Russia. I'm not going to tell you where we're going. I'm not going to tell you where we're staying.
Sounds
we're
good.
We're going to show up, and it might be a little bit of a shock, but it's a surprise. I'll let you know when you get
doesn't
there.
Doesn't put Pauly D at all, I'll tell you that.
I want to have a time machine and go back to 1985 where the lead singer from Survivor calls up his mom in the middle and like, I need something that rhymes with fire. How about Spire? Spire, that's great.
Spire, yes.
So.
Man, now, the plane ride was long. My ass feels flat. Can't wait to start working out.
My ankles are swollen and I can't get to the bed.
I didn't bring gum. Ears need to pop.
This part is also
1800 PSI is what he has fought.
During this part is where you meet the chaperones. Do you remember the chaperones?
Yes, yeah.
These are two people that make sure that Rocky doesn't do what?
Yeah, I like that they hire the KGB is literally watching Rocky train and like seeing what he's doing, which is basically just winter CrossFit.
Yeah.
He essentially, like, this is, I swear, CrossFit exists because of this movie. Like,
yeah.
Because of the Rocky movies, because you have all this science and stuff like that. Well, that's the next montage. But quick little tidbit: I don't want to jump ahead.
Don't jump montage.
I have notes. Okay, now this whole scene where they're in Russia with all this snow is actually filmed in Wyoming, and the mountain shots are shot in Montana near the Grand Tetons or in Canada.
That's
so
cool.
Just a quick little.
So you mean we can go to where they shot Rocky IV?
Now,
hopefully near where The Shining was. So.
Now, another little thing is when they show up to this cabin in the middle of the ice, Pauly is fucking pissed because he says, they don't have an antenna, we're going to miss the Rose Bowl. Now, when Rocky says this, the Rose Bowl is actually that year was played on January 1st. The fight was on December 25th. Oh. So he would have had time. You understand, Paulie's bitching about something that he's clearly still going to be able to see.
He likes the pregame.
He's a mooch. He's the worst kind of mooch.
He's such a cock.
By the way, what does he know about boxing? Why is this fucker in the corner?
Right.
He has no reason to
be
there.
He just let him fuck his sister. He doesn't know anything about the fight game. Now he's one of only two other people.
I guarantee Adrian did her own montage where she was like, take him with you. I can't take it anymore. Honestly, I won't be that hurt if he doesn't come back.
Oh, I realize as soon as they deboard the plane and everybody knows how cold and snowy it is, mm-hmm. that the black coach looks out and he's like, we're going to need a snow cat.
Yeah, snow cat to go. The Shining reference. I like your style, Jeremy. Listen,
I pick up on him. Scatman
I pick up on him. That's why we have you on here. Now, there is a brief...
Go back 40 years.
There's a brief little talk between Rocky and... apparently, he's also brought Apollo's ex-trainer along, Duke. And Duke has a heart-to-heart with Rocky saying...
Well, before he does that, he plays a
chess game. Wait, what about the game of chess?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. He plays a chess game against the Russian. Of course he wins.
Yes, of course he wins.
And which side wins?
Oh, the white side, right?
The black side wins against the white.
Which is also, did you notice like the move that he makes is like a single pawn move that puts him into check? Yeah. You didn't see
he
that.
Wins
like
with a pawn.
This is clearly the easiest jump. That you didn't see checkmate coming in the next move was him moving one pawn forward.
This guy is very good. It surprises me considering everything my grandfather said.
It's a real shitty thing. I did read that the actor who was playing that part was actually really good at chess
and was annoyed.
And he was annoyed because he actually played Stanley Kubrick because he was working on the movie The Shining with him and lost to Stanley Kubrick because Stanley Kubrick is really good. So he's only known for losing at chess more than anything else.
The Kubrick and Duke.
And Duke from Rocky IV. So Duke tells him that you're here to keep Apollo's spirit alive.
No pressure.
You just have to keep my favorite person in the whole world's spirit alive.
Rocky IV, the no pressure set.
And there's only a few characters in the movie, but now this is Duke's opportunity to emote, right? We've mm-hmm. already had Adrian when she told him he couldn't win, right? We had Paulie coming up, which mm-hmm. I know you're going to talk about, but of course, Sylvester Stallone, both when he says, is it you versus you, and at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
We got a shitty kid when he said, I'd be scared if I fought this guy, mm-hmm. and now this is Duke's turn.
And immediately, now we've only, since our last montage, it's maybe been 7 minutes tops. Like, it hasn't been very long, right?
Is this the sequel to the Eye of the Tiger song?
It is. Right, it's here? The same band. It's the same emotion. Yes. Oh, you're doing the training montage.
Well, this is the next. It's the training montage, and then you get Hearts on Fire after this. This is a pretty good 80s song right here.
Dude, this whole soundtrack gets me fucked jacked up. I want to smash something.
And remember, he's out there chopping wood, chopping trees, stacking wood. He's just doing errands.
Right. He's actually being kind of Russian.
There's one where it shows Drago lifting weights, and he's lifting a fucking horse up. Like, let me help this horse back up.
Yes. By the way, I don't know where he lives, what community, where he's training, but there are people farming around him, and he's helping them.
Shows him impregnating cows with his fist as fast as he can, so, you know.
What?
He's doing dirty jobs.
Oh! You know, one more thing I noticed is that when he runs, do you notice he runs, he wears a leather jacket.
Yeah.
That's what he runs in.
Because he's running in the cold, and he's running in like knee-deep snow everywhere.
Didn't Hugo Boss give him any cold weather gear?
They didn't know if he was going to win or not. They didn't want to attach themselves to a sinking ship.
I also believe... if I'm not mistaken, that this is the one where we... Oh, no, we don't find out till the next one about the cheating Russians. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun.
Yeah. So this ends the montage. He jogs back to the house. He sees his wife now, who's now in Siberia too. She's now come to see him in Siberia.
Who is home with their child?
Who's watching these kids? Nobody's watching them.
I wouldn't leave him with Paulie, but even Paulie is here in Siberia / Wyoming.
But the funniest part is like they show all this. They don't tell you how much time has elapsed at all. It looks like it's just been a single day, and he's grown a beard.
Yeah.
He's grown a beard, and his wife's now there. That's
funny.
That's what he did.
She's gotten pregnant twice.
His wife also said, I'm with you no matter what. I'm like, no, bitch, you're not. You fucking stood in the window when I drove away, and the day before you told me I couldn't win. You're not with me no matter what.
Is this the deleted montage for the sequel to Eye of the Tiger?
Yeah,
that they didn't play.
Well, I like.
Or are we not going to play that tonight?
I like that. There's the special montage. This is one that was deleted from the movie. I hope you get this is a real deep cut for you quality timers
you
out there.
Get this online. We got the special.
Yeah. I hope you guys are ready for this. This is the deleted Eye of the Tiger again. So I hope you guys enjoy. Completely real song.
Amazing, it fits the movie so well.
Was this actually Stanley from Kiss? This is Paul Stanley.
Yeah, that's Paul Stanley.
Yeah. I love that Paul Stanley song, Live to Win.
Yeah,
God, that could fit right in any Rocky movie. But the fact that it doesn't makes it horrible. Mick is dead, Pablo's dead too. Gotta fight that
go to Russia, where's lots of snow. Gonna prepare for your fight. You're gonna maybe chop some wood. Or maybe climb a mountain. But you're the traitor who used the words to work. It fit the movie so well.
That was so good.
Just a hair too much echo. Just a pinch too much.
I think
they could have used more echo. More echo.
Oh man, so that montage was great. That was all right. Jeremy Woodworth original. Everybody, give it up for Jeremy.
No, that was actually Survivor. That was Survivor. That wasn't me.
That was Survivor.
So the second half of that montage,
we're from Philly. Hello, we're Survivor.
It really contrasts Drago's state-of-the-art facilities and computers versus Rocky basically just doing CrossFit. Also, it's odd that all this high-tech equipment is labeled in English in Russian.
Well, how else are we going to understand it?
I gotta say, they sold me. Rocky IV sold me on what they were trying to sell you on, mm-hmm. which is. The best way to train is against yourself, against the elements. Like Drago has all these advancements and all this fancy shit, but when you bring it down man to man, bone to bone, it's not going to translate. Like, I was sitting there being like, dude, I don't know. Rocky fucking looks pretty tough in this. Like they wanted you to. I was totally buying it.
I think they're also buying into the force that the closer you get to the dark side, the more robot-like you become.
Well, it's funny. So, and I don't want to, I know it's coming up, but. He looks like he has about 1% body fat, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
And clearly he is just filled full of just quarts and quarts of steroids.
Yeah. But they shit on Drago because they definitely show him getting
coming
some steroids,
up
right?
In the next montage, one of seven, we then see Drago. He can't possibly just be a great athlete from a nation that has hundreds of millions of people. Mm-hmm. He has to be cheating. How else could he have ever beaten anybody from America? Our infants could beat him. So that's when we see
but
him.
But we kind of prove that with the Olympics, though.
It is funny because... This is back in 1985 or 86, whoever you want to talk to with the Jeremy disagreeing.
Sorry, I was off.
But it is foreshadowing the the Russians have been kicked out of the Olympics. They can't get their shit together. Yeah, this is a real thing. They cheat.
And it's been happening for decades. It was totally happening then.
They are now. Have you ever seen...
Oh, just happening now.
Have you seen the documentary Icarus?
I just watched it.
Oh, so good.
I just watched it. It was great.
Good stuff. So those dirty Russians always cheating. Rocky gets so good that now he outran the KGB. You thought Rocky III was big, where he outran a black guy. He outran special forces in a car. Up a mountain, and then just starts screaming Drago's
name.
Can
I ask a question about that? Couldn't he have just run up the mountain slowly? They can't drive the fucking car up the mountain.
He could have walked, yeah.
Again, they're there for no reason. He can't. What's he going to do? Yeah. Steal the secrets from
them? I look at those last two scenes from the montage. It's him using a rickshaw to lift his family members and trainers and doing presses like that. Well, honestly, rickshaws are made to distribute weight easily. Right. That's not a lot of weight.
It's
like
system.
That.
Yes, easily.
And then Drago, if you look at the weight that he's carrying, if those are real plates, he's clean and jerking 450 pounds. That's clearly harder than he's doing. He's also on a treadmill that's going it looks like it's going 90 miles per hour. Like, yeah, you have to go that fast, otherwise you're going to fall off. Like, right. Rocky could just take his time and climb a mountain.
When Drago looked like he was struggling on the treadmill, I like to think all the women at Curves were like, go, bitch, you're amazing. Do that.
Yes, queen.
I'd like to think that writing this would have been really simple, but he still had a roundtable discussion. Like, okay, Drago's doing all these things on computerized. Now, what could Rocky be doing? What if you just, did a big thing full of rocks and you looked at that? Yeah.
Well, there was no round table. He was like, here's my script. It's 2 pages long. There's four lines in this entire thing. It's a two-hour movie.
Adrian has feelings and another montage.
Well, in the Rocky movies, I go to, this library. I go up these steps and I jump up. What if I'm in Russia? Well, you can climb a mountain and jump on the top of a mountain.
It's very similar.
It's my favorite scene is when he runs up the mountain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. First of all, it looks like he's running up. You know, most people that are up there have to have those oxygen masks. Mm-hmm. They camp up there. He's running up there in his leather jacket, and he just lost the KGB, who has to know his every move. They don't know what he's doing on that mountain, but what he is doing is screaming out the name of his competitor.
I like to think the KGB was in the car juicing so they'd become better drivers.
One other thing that we hear during this montage for the first time is no paint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think they wanted to be... you know, some tagline or whatever, but they don't introduce it until the movie's an hour. And then they say it a bunch of times, like, well, this really hasn't been a theme.
No pain. No pain.
No pain.
No pain.
You're iron.
Yeah, Duke just keeps hammering home the no pain thing.
Easy for you to say.
That's it. And
that's what you say in Lamaze now. No pain. Shut the fuck up!
Sorry, one more thing. In that montage, he had a picture of Drago on his mirror as inspiration, this is the fucker I don't like. Yeah. And then for some reason, something happened during that montage where he reached it and he just wrinkled it up.
Yeah, which is actually a callback to a previous Rocky movie, because in Rocky 2, that's what Apollo does to Rocky's picture. It's the exact same scene, actually. They steal that because that's what Apollo does, which is interesting because Apollo loses in part 2. So this is not a good thing that he's doing.
He's following that thing back up, flatten it out.
If you had left it up, you would have been fine.
Like you're trying to get a dollar in a vending machine.
Only to be followed up by Sinead O'Connor and the Pope.
So now it's fight night. Paulie gives a tearful revelation. He says, I wanted to be you, Rock. I wanted to be more like you.
And you mean not an alcoholic?
God damn it.
And a sense of purpose?
That's Paulie's emotional moment.
Yeah. Mm. And then Rocky responds by, Paulie, you're the drunken, abusive father I never had.
Two things.
You're making my glass eye fog up.
Two things from that part. The first thing is the announcers call Rocky Balboa the Iron Horse, which he's never been called before. He's the Italian Stallion. Italian Stallion. Apollo calls him Stallion, which is dumb because it's long as fuck.
What's up, Stallion? That's not a good nickname.
Shorter than right. That makes no sense to call him that. And then this guy decides to call him a name that we've never heard before since, the Iron Horse.
Yeah, it's not realistic.
One more thing is they have Gorbachev is there.
Yes, there's
but he does not have a birthmark.
No, it is an actor who kind of looks like Mikhail Gorbachev. And oddly enough, can you name another movie that this guy is in that he also plays Miguel Gorbachev.
Oh, is it a Naked Gun or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, he okay. plays Miguel Gorbachev. Yeah. Oh,
with the win.
What is it like to
One
be?
Take.
Oh, so he had it rubbed off in Naked Gun. Now
yes.
it's not in Rocky IV. All right.
He does look a lot like him.
Yes, he does look like it. I mean, hey, listen, you got to strike while the iron's hot. And if you look like that, like Miguel Gorbachev, you're going to get work in two of the best 80s movies ever produced. So.
This is also the part of the movie where we see they flash to his child, mm-hmm. who's in his pajamas at home. Now, I don't know what time this fight is in Russia, mm-hmm. but they're 9 hours ahead. So if this fight is being fought even at midnight, this kid is sitting there in his pajamas on Christmas Day with two shitty kids from the neighborhood watching this fight
yeah.
around 3 o'clock.
And the robot.
And the robot's there dressed as Santa Claus.
And the hottest thing is that Rocky's kid is watching the fight, and he goes, "That's my dad." He goes, "Of course it is. We're not nerds." Like,
oh, you're nerds.
Those kids are nerds. You're not hanging out. You're
would
hanging
you
out with
would
your
you
rich
let your
friend.
Kids watch you fight?
Yeah, that would be dope. Unless
Dude,
I died. Then that would
that's
suck.
What I mean. Like, you're running the risk of extreme trauma. Like, I don't know. That's
Listen, you can't baby these 7-year-olds their whole lives, all right? They need to understand
what death,
murder, and
destruction. You can't baby these 7-year-olds we left home alone over an undetermined amount of time.
If my kids are watching me fight, I didn't have a choice in the matter. I'm in a Walmart parking lot getting the fuck beat out of me because Katie mouthed off to somebody.
Now, Rocky comes out, and he's donning the red, white, and blue in honor of his country and his fallen brother, Apollo. It's the exact same trunks as Apollo. This time, Drago gets a super intro, very similar to Apollo Creed's. They sing the USSR national anthem. A giant banner is raised, and it is just a very hostile crowd for Mr. Balboa.
There's also an old black guy in Drago's corner.
Yes.
Who looks like a contest winner.
Yes.
He doesn't have any lines.
He
I don't
looks
know
scared.
Who he is.
He may have been kidnapped. He looks afraid.
He actually looks like somebody who... The only person in the entire movie that looks like he was in the boxing game. So
yes.
I think that this guy, he must be a consultant that they let in. I don't know who the hell he is. But there's no blacks in Russia. Nobody's believing this part. That's the most unbelievable part of the story.
They come face to face, and Drago has another iconic line. I must break you.
What if Rocky responded like reverse psychology, try to freak him out? He was like, yes, bitch, that's amazing.
And then immediately after, we get a payoff for Paulie's tearful thing saying he wants to be you. And Paulie goes, hey, remember that stuff about me wanting to be you? Forget it.
Well, that's the same thing that Rocky did to Apollo before he went out, and he ended up dying. So
that
I thought that
true.
Was particularly shitty.
Now, there is a little part where they tap gloves briefly, and he taps fucking Drago's gloves hard and moves his hands just a little bit, more than he did. If you catch this, Drago kind of looks at him like, oh, maybe this guy is. Maybe this guy is a little bit stronger than Apollo Creed.
A glimmer of hope.
He might have been pulling a sleigh earlier.
Now, the first round goes really bad for Rocky. Rocky comes in there, and he's taking this classic ass whooping like he does in every film. It's already looking like the Apollo mm-hmm, Rock. Mm-hmm.
Has
Apollo
he ever won a
Drago.
First round, Rocky? He never has.
Never has.
He always out, just gets the fuck beat
it's
out.
It's not his M.O.
Yes. He comes out, I like it. He does the most preparation and is the least prepared in every fight, somehow.
The best thing is he comes back later, and he actually shoots blood into the face of the other opponent that he's fighting, yes. so they can't see.
Now,
so.
He goes back to his corner, and he goes, I'm seeing three of them out there. And then Duke says, hit the one in the middle. No pain. Like
no
that.
Pain.
Now, if you guys, a little fun tidbit. Now, the hit the one in the middle exchange is long part of boxing lore. Actually, this did happen during the 1930s when Max Baer and Max Schmeling heavyweight fight from 1933. Baer was knocked down groggy by Schmeling by a right hand and in the first round, and his corner told him to hit the one in the middle. He ended up winning by knockout in the 10th
Damn.
round.
Damn.
Now, if you want to also know another boxing little trivia question, Max Baer, can you name another movie that Max Baer is in? It's a very famous boxing movie.
Yeah, he's in that movie with Russell Crowe.
Yes. The Cinderella Man.
And the thing about that movie is they make him really look like a bad guy, but apparently he was a really, really great guy. Seriously.
he was a good guy.
He was. He was. He would hide people like Anne Frankham up in the... Yeah. He was a real good guy, and so they shit all over him.
You gotta watch for that smelling right.
Yeah, he was not a dick. He was just German. He was one of the good ones.
Couple things about the first round. First of all, the first round, if your time is 2 minutes long, it's not even... Nah. The other thing is, any one single punch that Rocky takes in this would kill someone and also stop a fight immediately.
Yes.
He takes about 50 of them.
Well, I like it because this is the 80s, and I grew up in an era when I actually remembered what boxing was. I never saw a 15-round fight until I watched it like later when the internet was prevalent.
Yeah.
Like, they immediately got changed to 12 rounds by the time I was watching, like, in the early 90s and stuff. Because people would fucking die going 15 rounds.
It was serious. It's
like they would really kill each other. So...
Well, if you're getting hit by roundhouse, every punch you kick. By the way, are these the worst boxers in the world? These guys come all the way from fucking down on the ground and hit them just with roundhouse after roundhouse. Somehow they can't get out of the way. I don't understand.
It's like the closest thing you'll ever in real life to ever see a real Rocky fight is watching Hearns and Hagler go at it.
Yes.
But you know how
there's three rounds.
There's three rounds of that. There's no way you could go more than 9 minutes of beating the shit out of each other like those two did, and apparently this one goes 15. So spoiler alert, round two is not looking much better for Rocky as he fights through, but near the end of the round, right when the bell's about to ring, Rocky gets him in the corner and draws blood on Drago, and then Drago comes and attacks him after the bell, and Rocky fucking body slams. They start fighting. There's at least another 30 seconds of action after the bell rings.
Yes, it's complete chaos. That round was a minute and a half. So the first round is 2 minutes long, and the second round is a minute. They can't get this shit straight, but it's 3 minutes, people. You got to go the whole way. And if they did, I think Rocky would have probably lost if they actually went ahead and went the 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That it goes, yeah.
I like how in this movie they try to show, like, all right, the bell rang, and now there is some dirty play. They're still punching. They're hugging each other. They're trying to choke each other out. Like, this is the height of boxing corruption in the match. When in real life, we have seen Evander Holyfield's ear getting bit off.
Yeah.
Like, that's too unbelievable. That would never happen. That's dumb.
Now, Rocky's trainer says if he bleeds, he's not a machine. He's a man. No pain. Again, really hammering
home. Can I do my impression of Duke in this part? Because he's very excited. You caught him! You caught him!
Now we get another... our fourth montage of the movie, because rounds 13 through 14 are beautifully directed through music,
Three through 14.
Is this our 8th or 9th montage?
This is a montage number 4, as we're keeping score here.
Only 4?
And now, as they're going through this, Drago, it's a pretty good montage. They're going back and forth. But they have a lot of shots of Paulie, and it's the only thing he does is literally grab Duke and go, yeah! The whole fight.
At one point, his hand's on his head. He's just moving his head
like 8 times.
If you watch the montage and you include what we saw in the first round, I think Rocky gets knocked down 20 times.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be the record for the most times being knocked down and winning a fight if this were to actually happen.
And there's no standing 8 counts. He just immediately gets back up and just like
he's running at him, yes.
Also, if you've ever wanted to see Sylvester Stallone get hit in the fucking face, this is the montage to see that. He gets slow motion hit in the chops. His jaw goes way further than it should and comes back while he's got this retarded melting face look. Oh, it's...
Now, the slow-mos where they each get hit, yeah.
Now, during the filming of this fight scene, Stallone actually let Lundgren hit him a bunch of times to add realism to the action.
Nice.
Later the night after one of the shoots, Stallone had to be rushed to the hospital because blood pressure was over 200. What ended up happening, he ended up staying in the hospital for 4 days. So production was shut down for 4 days after one of the shoots. This is the second time. And now, this hospital trip resulted
time in Wyoming.
Result yeah. was a result from Lundgren hitting him so fucking hard in the chest that his breastbone hit his heart and was cutting off circulation to the rest of his body.
Oh my God.
That's how
God.
Badass Dolph Lundgren is. Now, on top of
that's
that,
awesome.
The insurance company didn't want to pay Sylvester Stallone for the trip because he said this injury is similar to something we see when somebody gets into a car accident and gets hit by the steering wheel in a car.
So they like didn't believe him.
And so Stallone said, "Have you seen Dolph Lundgren? That guy is a truck." And they paid it out after that.
Damn.
That's all I had to say. He's like, "Look at Dolph Lundgren. That's how hard he hits." So Rocky somehow is won over the Soviets by the end of this montage.
Just by getting the shit beat out of him.
His best
He's got heart. Motherfucker's got heart.
His best trait of getting the shit kicked out of him. Now, Soviet Russia, who just hates America, we're at the height of the Cold War, is now chanting for Rocky in his own thing.
Watching him just get fucking pummeled and then somehow winning over this crowd, it would be like somebody, they fall down the stairs, they fall down the stairs again, and then you just keep falling down the stairs. Eventually, yes. you're like, I like this person now. Even though they can't walk down a flight of stairs, they're now... They've endeared themselves to me.
It would be like Tom Myers ending a 30-minute set with them chanting his name.
Or it would be like if people just saw videos of the domestic violence of Tiger Woods, but people were still like, go for the gold, Tiger! Go for it! We're on your side!
I keep seeing the ultimate Rocky takeoff film where Rocky's head is completely on the back of his own back, but they still keep sending him out. He's like, he can't even hit his head anymore! It's so hidden from him, so...
That's not as... If it wasn't in Russia, if you did see somebody getting the fuck beat out of them in this manner and they were still standing, the crowd would turn and start rooting.
That is true. I'm a fan. I mean, it's amazing what's happened. Right?
However, you would not become a communist. So I'm not buying
communism was right! Because of this fight!
Now, the Soviet brass is fucking pissed. They come over to Drago's corner. They're trying to shame Drago. Drago picks up the guy and choke slams yes. a government official and then points up at Gorbachev and says, "I vote for me."
Your kids are so murdered right now.
Yeah, and then he loses. So yeah, he's right. fucked big fucked. Time.
Well, your mom has cancer. Spoiler, that's not what's going to kill her.
The final round goes a little bit back and forth, but Rocky finishes off Drago with about 20 left hooks
just
in a row.
Kill shot after kill shot.
He has hit him with like 20, I swear, it's like 15 to 20 shots, like boom, 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 and finally knocks him down.
They could make a techno song out of his punches.
And then Rocky is now triumphant again. He raises his hands. It's the post-fight interview. And says, "I came here tonight. I didn't know what to expect. I see a lot of people hating me, and I know how you feel about that. So I guess I didn't like you neither. During this fight, I see a lot of changes. And, well, I felt about me and how I felt about you. Here are those two people trying to kill each other. I guess it's better than 20 million. I'm saying if I can change, then you can change. We all can change."
He
literally he ends the Cold War. Yeah. With the one fight, he's ended the Cold
Rocky!
War.
My biggest takeaway from that was there's the one long line he has. He goes, "You know, when I came in, you guys were hating me, and I guess I didn't like you very much, none neither." And the Russian translator goes, "Abdo-dab-dab-dab." Whatever he said was about four sentences long. If I was Rocky, I'd be like, "Are you sure that you said what I said? Because they're not going to get any of the other shit after it." If that's...
By the way, he says all that, and then after his speech, even Gorbachev gets off and he fucking starts
which
clapping.
Would never,
he's like,
which would never
capitalist
happen.
Now.
Yeah.
Respect. Respect.
You said it all, Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump!
Two things on that. First of all, Sylvester Stallone giving this speech, it sounds like what a teacher listens to in a class of a book report given by a child born with alcohol poisoning. Number two, I entertained myself while watching this, thinking that the interpreter interpreted what Rocky was saying, but through the eyes of what Russians would see it as. So he's like, "You know, I came in and, you know, a lot of people changed and my friend died. This little bitch cannot handle real life. I think if anybody can change, I can change and you can change." Mm-hmm. He's unrealistic and he's probably going to be murdered by his comrades.
Man, I wish I could do accents.
It takes seconds of training.
It's just a level of racism that you apply to audio, I think.
I am Denis Petrov. This is the way I talk all the time. Look, there is a train out front where people died.
See, the challenge is, what's the difference between a Russian accent and a Transylvanian accent? Oh, right. That's hard, right?
No nothing difference. At all.
And that brings us to a conclusion to Rocky IV. We
so
did it, guys.
Beautiful.
We did
nice.
It.
So
the burning crotch!
And we only have three more movies after this to happen. And each one of them is supposedly the last one. We have a very bad Rocky V. We have Rocky Balboa after that.
Oh, I
and
forgot
then,
about that.
And then Creed. So,
do you remember in the movie Airplane when the guy goes to buy the briefcase and the bomb that he puts in the briefcase?
Sonny Bono?
Yeah, in the air, the airport store, there's a poster behind him of Rocky XV 11111111111, and it's just an old guy with, like, he just looks too tired to lift his hands.
And that it wasn't wrong. That's prophecy now.
Kind of like Back to the Future had Jaws Part 27, but now we have Sharknado.
Well, you guys have heard the Creed 2 is coming out. Do you know what the premise for Creed 2 is?
I think Joe was talking about that earlier, right?
He's got another illegitimate kid.
I have no idea. Creed 2 is Apollo Creed's illegitimate son once again fighting. Can you guess who he's fighting in Creed 2?
Mr. T.
Mike Tyson.
The illegitimate son of Ivan Drago. That
what?
Is the legit.
Stop it!
That is the
Does
legit
anybody write
plot
movies
of Creed
anymore?
2.
I just came.
I'm okay. I'm somehow oddly okay with it. I'm so okay with it.
God.
No, because they're not. It depends. I mean, are they going to take it seriously? Because if they are, it's going to suck.
Well, and if these are illegitimate children, they don't even have the influence of their fathers in their lives.
He's
right?
fighting for the death of his. He's fighting for the his life of his father. Do you understand? Drago killed his dad, so now he's got to fucking kill his son.
But you know what, Drago? They kind of tried to make him into a sympathetic figure near the end when he started standing up for himself. And he's like, "Wait a minute, I went to MIT, motherfucker. I'm smarter than everybody in here."
Talk to me like that.
No, but when he did his first
respect of a name.
It is funny because you know you're supposed to when he choke slams that other guy. It's like, oh well, that guy's the bad guy, kind of making him do these things.
Yeah.
But not really. He said if he dies, he dies. He killed the guy, and he fucking,
yeah. What do you want me to do? Yeah. This is the sport that we play. I mean, what are you? You shouldn't have stepped through the goddamn ropes.
This is a terrible kill off. Looking back, do you think they wish they would have just put him in a coma and they could have brought him back? Because Apollo is such a lovable character. I fucking love Apollo Creed.
I just want him to look at the camera like, wait a second, I'm Swedish. What?
Joe Robinson, before we get out of here, anything you'd like to plug? I mean, we obviously do the same thing all constantly.
Let me see. We have our next murder mystery. If this is out in time.
It'll be out in time.
And
it'll
if
be
you
out
love
Monday.
Somebody, you can come to Magoobie's Joke House and see the Newly Dead Game.
Ooh, yeah.
Starring
Sultry.
Eric Woodworth, among others.
Hey.
I'm in it.
I am on a show called The Rob and Joe Show. Which is a podcast which airs live every Monday at 7:30, and then it takes my brother, our producer, about 4 days to pour exhaustively through the audio and then put it out for human consumption. I got some other shit, but that's good enough.
But that's cool. Yeah, you can check it out. Jeremy, do you have anything to plug?
I have nothing. This is my entire life.
I understand that.
I'm going to kill myself any day now.
Bill Kimberly, where can people find you?
You know where you can find me, cucks. at Watch Me Doing This on Twitter, at Panic at the Deli on Instagram. I'm off of Facebook. I'm free. And you can come to the second Saturday shit show, the second Saturday of every month. It's free up at the Auto Bar.
Hell yeah. Check out Kimberly. It's a great show up there. I need to get back up there.
I know.
There.
You're coming soon. It's fun.
You can check out all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. If you're tuning in to 98 Rock on Wednesday morning, I'm going to be on there plugging the show, so you can check me out there.
Yes.
Other than that, Die Laughing Productions, all that. Give us a 5-star rating on Stitcher and iTunes. We'll read it on the show. Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Like,